bringing cybersecurity know-how into the boardroom. Welcome to the Better Boards podcast series. I'm Sabine Demkowski, founder and managing partner of Better Boards. We make the boards of the most ambitious organizations more effective. We do this by providing clients with an evidence-based approach for board evaluations and board development programs. To fulfill our mission, we give a voice to all who care about creating better boards. Every first and third Thursday of the month, I speak with those that are serving boards about topics that are high on a board's agenda. All the views expressed in our podcast are the views of our podcast partners and not those of Better Boards. In this episode, I'm delighted to talk with Frank Satterwhite. Frank is founder and CEO of 1600 Cyber, an American-owned pan-European cybersecurity consultancy. Frank is a known global cybersecurity expert and social influencer. A former NATO and US military cybersecurity consultant with roots in Silicon Valley and the EU, he has a purposeful vision that has driven his career, making the world a better place by protecting society through technology. Welcome, Frank. I'm pleased that you are contributing to the Better Boards podcast series.
Very happy to be here.
So you are here because of your special expertise in cybersecurity with your own firm in Frankfurt. You know, when I conduct board evaluations, cyber and cybersecurity is frequently coming up as an area where the board believes they need greater know-how. Can you help us to understand why cyber and cybersecurity is such a hot topic? Why it is so crucial?
You know, for the first time ever, cyber incidents have ranked as the most important business risk globally by Alliance 2020, their risk barometer. Cyber is definitely on board's radars because it's transitioned from being an IT problem, and they're starting to see it's a business continuity problem. It needs to be addressed enterprise-wide. You know, boards legal legislation demands duty of care from board directors. How can a board director show due diligence and limit their liability or have no liability if they don't address cybersecurity responsibly? This expertise, unfortunately, though, has been challenging to get to boards. Most CISOs are people with my background with military, NATO. I've also worked a lot of private sector in the EU. Most people from our backgrounds get frustrated because we don't feel like the boards really listen to us when we make recommendations. I think our board's more willing to listen after, again, the numerous visible breaches like EasyJet, Facebook, WannaCry. I think we have a stage and we have their attention, so we need to take advantage of it.
So now we are living in COVID-19 times. What has this pandemic done? What impact do you think will this new environment have on cyber risk?
It unfortunately had a very negative impact because cyber criminals prey on people when they're most vulnerable. And so people have always been the weakest link when it comes to cybersecurity. But now when you have people in our profession that have anxiety and fear from the pandemic, they're more likely to make mistakes during operations or security-related activities with the organization. So cyber criminals count on these activities. So what we've seen, Google reported 18 million additional phishing and malware attacks from their user base just in the last 2 weeks. Most of these attacks rely on users to click an email from a fake CDC organization or provide their credentials from a phishing scam where an organization is posing as World Health Organization and saying, hey, we understand that you came in contact with a person that is tested positive for COVID-19. Please click on this link and provide your credentials. So, and the other part that's really important, Sabina, is the way we work has changed. So people, there's more remote working. People
absolutely.
People are using Wi-Fis. They're using VPNs to connect. They're connecting to networks.
And we have all these people now working from home. Millions of people starting to work from home.
Exactly. And so what happens is you've exponentially increased the attack surface. Because VPNs have known vulnerabilities, Wi-Fis have known vulnerabilities, and people are connecting to their corporate networks with their own devices. And these devices have known vulnerabilities. And so then what has to happen is these remote working environments, we have to make them digitally safe. And this requires adding layers of security to address those. One example being zero trust architecture is talked about a lot, where each device that connects to a network is not trusted, whether it's the CEO's mobile device or it's the IT worker. So zero trust architecture is just one example where steps are being taken to increase authentication and make home and remote working environments more safe. But it's a huge challenge.
Yeah, and I saw many boards struggle with basically changing to enable the organization that actually operations work if people work remotely. So this is definitely an additional layer to take care of.
Absolutely.
Do you see an increase in demand? Are organizations, boards coming to do, trying to address the issue now?
There is an increase in demand, but the problem is it requires a very measured and dynamic approach. And what I mean by that is you have to have different approaches to securing endpoint devices, right? You have to change the culture and address the additional vulnerabilities that people logging in from their home Wi-Fi that's been hacked or not secure. So there is additional demand, but all of these attack surfaces can be addressed by an experienced CISO or technical or cyber expert.
CISO, maybe help our listeners to understand the term.
So CISO is the Chief Information Security Officer. His role basically is to first help the board understand the threats that pose the greatest risk to their organization. He then helps them understand how they need to protect their, we call them crown jewels, which are the most important services or products the organization has to have. The CISO helps boards direct their spending based on what's most important, based on their risk profile. And the CISO also helps integrate the right level of technology to return maximum business value, but also monitor and protect against the highest vulnerabilities the organization faces. So the CISO really is like that technical expert, understands a business, and then allows the board of directors to integrate technology and cybersecurity to protect it.
When you work with boards, what are really the key questions they have at the moment?
Well, there's quite a few. A lot of them center around risk in the military. Well, I've worked military, NATO, and private sector. Here are some questions that I have run into quite a bit. So during crisis management, what is a board's role? How is that crisis managed? What is the strategic direction for crisis management and getting ensuring that there's business continuity? Another key question is cyber insurance appropriate? What type of coverage should be considered? Another important question is how quickly can we restore confidence after an attack based on your recommendations? Another question is what are the greatest cyber threats our organization faces? And then the other thing is, how should we approach risk management? Just in the sense of what's an acceptable level? What's our risk appetite? Because sometimes you can implement too many controls and the return on investment is not worth it. So those are just a few key questions I get when I work in different environments.
So what can, you hinted already to it, you know, this large gulf between boards and cybersecurity experts. It's a very different environment both groups are working in. What can boards do from your perspective to really engage more and better with cybersecurity experts like yourself?
Well, I've always felt that the best way for boards to engage better with cybersecurity experts, I like to call them virtual CISOs. And the profile of a virtual CISO is something like this. He's been a leader in IT. He has formal education. He's had probably 20 years of experience. He's used to working with people who are more experienced, as most board members are. And he's used to also, he or she is used to talking to technical people as well as non-technical stakeholders. Most importantly, Sabine, virtual CISO allows a board to engage someone, but not necessarily hire them. It allows them to engage someone and kind of see if they're a cultural fit and start bringing in that level of expertise. And so this type of person is not just skilled technically, but he's a communicator. And he understands how to deliver the message in a way that audience will understand it. I would put the onus engaging the right type of virtual CISO.
So this person, would this person have a permanent seat on the board? Or would he be a C-suite executive who comes in occasionally?
He or she would be on demand. So what happens is maybe a board doesn't want to invest £200,000 in an executive to be a permanent part of an organization before they know that that person shares their same vision, because the CISO has to execute the technical and strategic vision of the board. Mm-hmm. He has to drive that. So it has to be a cultural fit. So it's to me, it's on demand, and that's what makes it so great. And if it works out after that trial period, you usually can convert a CISO to someone on a permanent basis.
What experience do boards at all need to have an effective communication with a CISO? Can they go on a training program? What basic level should be present at the permanent level on the board so that they can really engage effectively and know what they have to look for to ensure you bring it up to that basic level?
That's a really great question. So some specific trainings and some specific ways for boards to understand how to lead a program that increases cyber resiliency. There's a couple of things I'd like to talk about. One is from a compliance standpoint, training such as CISM or CISSP, it usually would give a board member a good foundation for compliance, GDPR, SOX, HIPAA, GLB, whatever it is, whatever your organization has to be compliant with, these are the types of regulations that can be learned from taking a course like CISM or CISSP. And then a board needs to understand in detail how some of the risk management standards work. Some examples would be COBIT, which provides a security guide to identify organizational risk and most attacked risk. It's one thing to have risk, but then it's another thing to understand which risks are most likely to be exploited. Another type of training would be ISO 31000. This is just gives the organization and the board member an understanding the type of methodology to adopt to increase cyber resiliency. And then there's also ISO 27005, which is a cybersecurity risk management framework. And so what these frameworks do, it kind of gives you a checklist. So as a board member, if I'm asking, what is my checklist to make sure that I'm showing due diligence and I'm addressing cybersecurity concerns? These are some of the things they do. Two other things I'd like to point out. For a board member who wants to go a little more in detail, they can learn threat methodologies. And these methodologies include stuff like STRIDE, and these methodologies literally show a board how to identify threats that pose the greatest risk, categorize them, and then kind of how to plan for addressing them. That's another effective way for a board to get up to speed in terms of training. My organization, 1600 Cyber, has created a free cyber resiliency guide for board members. And they can go to www.1600cyber.com and download it. And it's, again, it's free of charge, but it will outline a lot of these things I just talked about.
Many boards that I've seen in the last year wish to recruit a board member with skills and experience in cybersecurity, but they find it ever so difficult to find individuals. Do you have any ideas where they can actually look to find people who have the skills, experience, and could serve on a board?
Sabine, great question, and I feel uniquely qualified to answer it. What I've seen in my career, especially from very large Fortune 50 or Fortune 500 defense contractors, is that they seek out and recruit a retired military, retired NATO, these types of professionals, because when you get someone that has retired and served their country or from NATO served the larger global community with honor, you know that person has integrity. You know that person is used to working under pressure. you know that person has a IT background, if they had some IT-related function in the military. And most importantly, you know that person knows how to get things done. Because in the military and NATO, there is a bottom line, is that's staying on schedule and completing things that are required to support the mission and secure the mission. And the best part of it all is usually after a person retires, they're looking for a new challenge. They still want to lead. They still want to serve. And so they're really a prime candidate. And there are lots of retirees could step right in and do a great job. So that I'd strongly recommend, just like a General Dynamics or Northrop Grumman or Boeing or Lockheed would do, go in and aggressively recruit the retired military professionals.
Thank you so much, Frank. We hope we've given our listeners, given our boards, some ideas how to get cybersecurity expertise on the board. Thank you so much, Frank, for contributing to the Better Boards podcast series.
Sabine, there is nowhere else I would have rather been than be a part of this podcast series, and it's always a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Take care.
How can we help you and your board? We at Better Boards are delighted to hear from you. You can best reach us on info@better-boards.com.